We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
It was definitely garbage yesterday. They lost 38-6, and we go now to Daryl Ryder, who has all the very latest to talk about, because we have a quick turnaround around here, folks. We got this. We got to go over this autopsy, and then we got a game coming up on Thursday. Daryl's reports powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Okay, Daryl, where did it go wrong? There's so many places to choose.
I'm accepting apologies from everyone today.
Oh, that's how we're going to start this. Okay, this is going to be fun. You go right on ahead. All right.
All y'all want to do is give me grief during training camp. I was just giving you the real deal, and you got to see the real deal yesterday.
Well, the Browns lost 38-6. I'm glad you made it about you, Daryl.
I'm just giving you a hard time, Ken.
Damn it. All right. Where did it go wrong yesterday?
Everywhere. I mean, you talk about Baker Mayfield playing great games. He might want to start if he wants a contract extension next offseason. Then they started the force feed Odell Beckham, which is never a good idea. And what I mean by that is, just zeroing in on him and only him. They can't fall into that trap. I actually didn't hate the fake punt call, because if that worked, if it was blocked correctly and didn't get blown up, and they pick up the first down, everyone's talking about what a gutsy call and catching the Ravens off guard and what a great job Mike Prefer and Kevin Stefanski did in that regard. So I don't hate the call. The execution was just absolutely awful.
But Daryl, to do that and then kick a field goal on 4th-and-2 down at the 25 on the other end when you had been gashing their defense, like, that makes no sense to me.
Yeah, and you missed the field goal by a country mile. So they got problems all over the board. There's no question about it. Hopefully Andrew Berry got the memo yesterday. You do need impact linebackers if you want to win this division, because you have the Baltimore Ravens twice on the schedule and the Pittsburgh Steelers twice on the schedule. And not having linebackers yesterday cost you about 28 points.
I was gobsmacked by something here, because people are starting to play a blame game between Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. They're saying we're not being hard enough on Baker Mayfield. If you want us to be hard on Baker Mayfield, fine. The first call we took out of the box this morning was about bringing in Case Keenum to start. All right. If we want to do this, fine. You know what? They were both terrible yesterday. Odell Beckham Jr., and I'm seeing this from Mike Tagliere of the NFL, this is a fantasy writer of some sort. People keep tagging me on this, going, well, gee, he said he just went and rewatched Odell Beckham Jr.'s targets from week 1. He's still the same player he's always been. Baker's accuracy was horrendous. This could have easily been a 100-plus-yard game for Odell.
Hold on.
Versus
Odell
a tough secondary.
No,
and I'm sitting there going,
no. Odell,
how could
is
it
not,
have been?
He's not
because
remotely
he,
the same player he was. He's not remotely. How
true.
Could anybody who covers the sport see that?
I don't know how anybody who covers the sport say they went back and they watched and they couldn't hear the entire secondary as well as the entire sideline of the Baltimore Ravens jawing at him after every single play before he eventually went and quit and sat on the sideline. There's a question in there somewhere, Daryl.
Your thoughts?
there was one positive with the Baker to Odell, and that was that he was able to draw a couple of penalties against the Ravens secondary. But that's about it.
Cool.
He got flagged for a face mask on trying to deliver a stiff arm, went out of bounds, came back in, nullifying a catch.
Why did he keep his hand on the face? I don't like those calls almost ever, but I know offense never gets called for it, and there were a few of them yesterday.
I thought his fingers might have got hooked by accident.
Well, the reason he got called is because, I mean, he pulled the defender by the face mask as he was going by him. Had it just been palmed the face mask, he would have been fine.
Did he do that? Did he do that intentionally because they've been jawing at him?
I'm not going to speak to intent, Anthony. It's in the heat of the action there. It's very easy when you put your hand out. It's very easy to grab that face mask, you know, physically like that. And so I'm not going to speak to intent. It was a poor penalty on his part that was a nice contribution to something I was not expecting yesterday, and that was a 3rd and 36 turned into 3rd and 41. My goodness.
Daryl Ryder.
Go ahead, Daryl. Or go ahead, Lon.
Yeah, Daryl, what do you think the offensive strategy was going into the game? Because obviously they had to go off script at some point when they're getting blown out. So I'm not going to crush them for second half play calling. But I do wonder, that was a lot of shotgun, a lot of empty sets, a lot of stuff I saw when Freddie Kitchens was calling the shots.
Yeah, I mean, you get desperate when you're down that much, that quickly. And, you know, Nick Chubb had a couple of nice runs right out of the gate. Kareem Hunt made a couple of nice plays as well. And, again, I'm not trying to make excuses here because it was ugly yesterday, no question about it. But, you know, this is part and parcel of you know, figuring stuff out, figuring out what you do well. And I respect Kevin Stefanski constantly saying during training camp that they had to do it. They didn't. And they looked like they didn't have the time to do it yesterday. So yesterday was part of the growing pains that they're going to go through. Hopefully this is not what we see, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks from now. Hopefully they got this out of their system. And as you alluded to, they got to play a game Thursday night. And I will say this, it's going to be real hard to give Kevin Stefanski a mulligan if these are the type of games the Browns are going to play this year. But again, just one game. They got to put it behind them quickly. Maybe it's a great thing that they do play Thursday night so they don't have time to dwell on this. But, that was as ugly as the scoreboard indicated it was.
You worried about Baker's future?
I'm really trying hard not to be.
I am sincerely worried. I don't care. I'm worried.
I know. But like I said, I'm trying not to be. I'm making an effort not to be. But it's... And the organization's done him no favors with the three coaching staffs in 3 years. That's tough for any young player to deal with. And he's not had an opportunity to grow within a system. Every year, he's having to hit the reset button. And certainly that doesn't, that's no excuse for the lack of accuracy. I don't know where that has gone. I don't know if his confidence is shaken. He seemed to be over that when we talked to him in the offseason. He admitted last year's confidence got shaken a little bit, but, you know, he felt like he was able to get over it. But, you know, they got players around him. He is surrounded with guys that can, you know, make plays for him. And I think that, again, when you're not in the same system, you know, stuff still being put together around you, it's real tough to you know, get out of your franchise quarterback what you're hoping to get. But he also has to get to a point where he's got to start elevating those around him. And unfortunately, we have not seen Baker do a lot of that.
Daryl Ryder joining us on the hotline right now. Okay, so let me break this sequence down for you. I'm watching yesterday, and I'm like, man, Jedrick Wills looks slow all of a sudden. Is he gassed? And then they came back from break, and they showed it just a shot coming back from break, and it was the Browns lineman on the sideline, and he was sitting down, and it looked like he was grimacing in pain, and then Kendall Lamb comes out.
Yeah.
And Kendall Lamb finishes the game. They said he couldn't really put a lot of weight on it as he was going back, his left leg as he was going back to the locker room. Did the MRI come back negative from what I read here? Is this true?
Yeah, I hopefully Kevin will update this. This afternoon, but it sounds like the organization is downplaying the injury as not being severe, which is great news, you know. But I I really don't trust initial injury reports. I mean, if I had a dollar for every time the Browns told us over the years that a guy wasn't hurt that bad and the guy ended up being hurt bad, I'd be retired and a millionaire. So I hope everything's okay. They lost him, David Njoku, to a knee injury. Njoku caught all three passes and the only touchdown. I thought he played really well. One of those catches was not easy. And then you lost another linebacker, Jacob Phillips, and that does not look good. He posted a picture on his Instagram where he wrapped, braced, the right leg there. It does not look good for Jacob Phillips. I don't want to speculate, but, you know, that's not a photo you want to see of a guy on a trainer's table. So,
well, time to call Clay Matthews.
Yeah, it might have been time to call Clay Matthews about 4 months ago. But, that unit, those linebackers that I touched on, man, it was thin as it was, and it got even thinner yesterday.
Dale Ryder joined us on the hotline. Was watching videotape today, even though Ken won't give me any kind of codes, so I have to watch bad versions.
Oh, I don't even have the codes anymore. I'll tell you about that later.
Oh, my goodness
gracious.
Oh, it's
a total mess. I have to call the NFL now. Go
ahead.
Oh,
boy. Anyway, so I'm watching Myles Garrett. What a terrific job Orlando Brown Jr. Mm-hmm. Did against him. Now, I'm just surprised that Joe Woods did not mix it up with Miles. I know they got Ronnie Stanley on the other end, so both edges are going to be tough, but that's supposed to be the strength of Myles Garrett, is that you can line him up anywhere like Aaron Donald.
Yeah, aside from recovering the fumble, didn't hear his name much yesterday, did you? It's one of those things where you got to position your playmakers to be able to make plays. I agree with you. I would have moved Miles around yesterday. I credit the Ravens for doing what the Ravens do, and that is, finding a team strength and neutralizing it. That's what, Baltimore and John Harbaugh historically have done. But, I think that was a pretty tough afternoon for Miles, pretty tough afternoon for the defense as a whole. Unfortunately, my gut tells me this is going to be a reoccurring theme this year because, as I told you throughout the offseason, the defense is a work in progress. It is a construction project right now. It's not a finished product, and they're going to have days like that. And that's why it's so imperative that all these playmakers on the offense do their part to keep them in games and give them opportunities to win. They have the firepower to keep pace with anybody in the NFL. Hopefully they're able to realize that and start to do it. Because, like I said, the defense, we're going to be talking a lot about games like this for the defense. It's not a criticism for me. It's just the reality of you can't fix everything in one off season. I anticipate that next off season that Andrew Berry will be spending a lot of time trying to patch some holes on that side of the football.
Were you satiated that Kevin Stefanski announced he was calling plays on Friday?
It didn't matter who did it. Here was my thing on that, Ken. I just thought that gamesmanship was such a waste of energy. That was my thing. I just think it's wasted energy when you're trying to play games and be cute with the media and stuff like that. And by the way, you can't play games and be cute with the media like that and then go out and lose 38-6. You can't do it.
Guess what? That's what they did. So watch.
Oh, I know. And guess what? Second worst loss in a debut. Worse than Freddie Kitchens. You know how hard that was to do yesterday?
Well,
Freddie Kitchens. The only difference between what we saw yesterday and what we saw from Freddie Kitchens was nobody got thrown out.
Yeah, we did have the 18 penalties last year. I think yesterday was, what, 8?
Yeah.
Yeah, they weren't
okay,
as bad
okay,
there.
Okay, I'll give you that, too. 10
discipline.
Fewer penalties, no one got kicked out of the game.
Discipline. Hey, discipline. You wanted it. You got it. What was the second worst loss? What was the second worst loss then? Was that last year?
No, Stefanski is the second worst loss. Freddie Kitchens is now number 3. And Chris Palmer, of course, remains numero uno in that inaugural game against the Steelers.
Yeah, well.
That was all-time bad. But the last 2 years have not felt good. I mean, there's no way, not with all the hype, not with all this talent. There's just no way. And, to me, the most demoralizing thing of all. And there's a lot of issues. It's only one game. And I kind of had fun yesterday on Twitter, but I said they're going to win the next two, and then we'll feel good about it. They better win the next two.
You think they'll win the next two, Daryl?
I'll just say demoralizing part is that that quarterback on the other side, it doesn't seem like that guy is going to slow down for a long time.
Yeah.
And you got to deal with him.
Yep. Yeah, and again, that's why Andrew Berry's going to have to spend a lot of time in the offseason working on that defense, because Lamar Jackson's going to be a problem for a long time. And I watched the second half of that Bengals game yesterday. Joe Burrow's going to be a problem too. I know Cincinnati lost. It was disappointing, but, man, that throw to A.J. Green in the end zone, Green pushed off, got flagged, nullified that touchdown, but, oh, my God, he's going to be a problem. I'm a little worried about Thursday night all of a sudden. Like, I was feeling real. Kent, they got beat by 32 points. How can I feel good about Thursday night football
they beat the Jets the next week last year.
Yeah, I know. But you're right. Thursday night's a winnable game. The Washington football team coming into town at the end of the month, that's a winnable game. They're 2-1. We forget about the fact they lost by 32. That's why it's a long season. And let's just hope that what we saw yesterday doesn't become a trend.
All right, Daryl, we thank you very much for the time. See you in hell.
All right. Meet you there, Ken.
All right, buddy. Daryl Ryder joining us on the hotline. His reports brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
He's going to meet you in hell, which means you're already there waiting for him.
Oh, I am the curator.
Or does it mean two of you are going to be in hell at the same time but in different spots, different circles of hell?
Everybody's always like, I try to be nice. Yeah, because I'm Satan. We've discussed this many times. I am I'm dead on the inside. After yesterday, oh, God, my guts are just black and cindered. It's all terrible. We might have to play the blame game coming up in a little bit, because there is a fight going on right now between people who are in Baker's camp and people who are in OBJ's camp, so we might have to get to that. Plus, you can't let Myles Garrett off the hook. He was missing yesterday. And Kevin Stefanski went classic Browns coach again in the postgame. It's Ken Kramer with Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.